All right, so that took a lot less time than I expected. Yeah. So,
we're going to do best 2 out of 3.
We're going to do best 2 out of 3, but we're also going to count total words.
Yes, so I ended up having 449.
So I'm ahead.
By like 100.
So we'll see how this next round goes.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I've got to psych myself up here. All right, I'm trying to find my spot. All right, there would have been a few of the fleet's upper echelons who would have genuinely mourned its loss if it hadn't, in its death throes, taken the Superstar Destroyer Executor with it. Even after 5 years, Pelion couldn't help but wince at the memory of that image. The Executor, out of control, colliding with the unfinished Death Star and then disintegrating completely in the battle station's massive explosion. Oh, fuck. The loss of the ships itself had been bad enough, but the fact that the Executor had made it far worse. The particular Superstar Destroyer had been Darth Vader's personal ship, and despite the Dark Lord's legendary and often lethal capriciousness, serving aboard it had been long perceived as the quick line to promotion, which had meant that when the Executor died, so did a disproportionate fraction of the best young and mid-level officers and crewers. The fleet had never recovered from that fiasco. With the Executor's leadership gone, the battle had quickly turned into a confused rout, with several other Star Destroyers being lost before the order to withdraw had finally been given. Pelion himself, taking command when the Chimera's former captain was killed, had done what he could to hold things together. Despite his best efforts, there had never regained the initiative against the Rebels. Instead, they had steadily been pushed back until they were here. Here in what had once been the backwater of the Empire, barely a quarter of its former system still under nominal Imperial control. Here aboard a Star Destroyer manned almost entirely by painstakingly trained but badly inexperienced young people, many of them conscripted from their homeworlds by force or threat of force. Here under the command of possibly the greatest military mind the Empire had ever seen. Pelion smiled, a tight, wolfish smile, as he again looked around the bridge. No, the end of the Empire was not yet, as the arrogantly self-proclaimed New Republic would soon discover. He glanced at his watch. 2:15. The Grand Admiral Thrawn would be meditating in his command room now. And if the Imperial procedure frowned on shouting across the bridge, it frowned even harder at interrupting a Grand Admiral's meditation by intercom. One spoke to him in person, or one did not speak to him at all. Continue tracing those lines, Pelion ordered the engineering lieutenant as he headed from the door. I'll be back shortly. The Grand Admiral's new command room was 2 levels below the bridge. Fuck. In a space that had once housed the former commander's luxury entertainment suite. When Pelion had found Thrawn, or rather when the Grand Admiral had found him, one of his first acts had been to take over the suite and convert it into essentially a secondary bridge. A secondary bridge, meditation room, and perhaps more. It was no secret that the Chimera had, since the recent refitting had been completed, the Grand Admiral had been spending a great deal of time here. What was secret was exactly he had did in those long hours. Fuck. Stepping to the door, Pelion straightened his tunic and braced himself. Perhaps he had about to find out. Captain Pelion to see Grand Admiral Thrawn, he announced. I have the door slid open before he could finish speaking. Mentally preparing himself, Pelion stepped into the dimly lit entry room, glanced around, saw nothing of interest, and started for the door to the main chamber 5 paces ahead. A touch of air on the back of his neck was the only warning. Captain Pelion, a deep, gravely cat-like voice mewed into his ear. Pelion jumped and spun, cursing both himself and the short, wiry creature standing less than half a meter away. Blast it, Rook, he snarled. What do you think you're doing? Oh, God. For a long moment, Rook had just looked up at him, and Pelion felt a drop of sweat trickle down his back. With his large, dark eyes, protruding jaw, and glistening needle teeth, Rook was even more of a nightmare in the dimness than he was in the normal lighting. Especially to someone like Pelion, who knew that Thrawn used Rook and his fellow Nogri for. I'm doing my job, Rook said. At last, he stretched his thin arm almost casually out toward the inner door, and Pelion caught him a glimpse of the slender assassin's knife before it vanished somehow into the Nogri's sleeve. His hand closed and then opened again, steel-wired muscles moving visibly beneath his dark gray skin. You may enter. Thank you. Fuck. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh, fuck.